So excited to welcome you to the NESG Radio this afternoon. Today is the International Day of Education 2025. We have an exciting conversation to have. Yes, we're talking artificial intelligence and education. Knowing the state of education in Africa, we're asking ourselves, is AI going to help us accelerate learning gains? But are they challenges? Yeah, we're going to talk about some challenges that are coming up. Before I start introducing the amazing team that we are conversing with, I'd like to start sharing with us some quick reports that are showing that there are really huge potentials with AI and learning. In 2022, a UNESCO report highlighted that platforms that used AI personalized learning tools were accelerating learning retention rates to as much as 30 to 50%. That is huge. We have huge learning poverty in Africa, and AI, we believe, is something we need to embrace. But there's a but to it, and that's what we're talking about today. My name is Irene Bangwell. I am the adjunct technical anchor for the Education Policy Commission, and I'm going to be interacting with two amazing individuals from the Education Policy Commission, starting with Mr. Godwin Henry, the thematic lead, Basic Education, NESG Education Policy Commission. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Irene. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also with us is the amazing Mrs. Mola Day Adeni, who is a thematic lead, Technical and Vocational Education and Training, TVET, NESG Education Policy Commission. Welcome, Mola Day.
Thank you so much, Irene. It's great to be here, and Happy New Year to you and everyone.
Yes, I know you're going to be saying Happy New Year's through January, so I'm happy to receive mine as well. So today we're talking about something very critical, which is the role of AI in education, but also exploring how we can retain, preserve human agency in a world of automation. So I'm going to just start out asking what your basic take is about AI in education. I'd like to start with you, Mola Day.
Thank you so much, Irene. You know, when I think about AI and education, I think the first place that where I actually want to start is we must all embrace it. AI is here to stay. Therefore, what other, you know, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about basic education, secondary education, any level of education, AI is here to stay. And when I think about AI in education, I think of a world of possibilities. I think that AI begins to transform education as we know it today. Yes. And it begins to open up doors of possibilities where people may not even have sort of realized. AI also has a way of accelerating education in multiple ways. So let me sort of give an example. Use of AI in education, I think of virtual reality as an example. Yes. Virtual reality means that I can be here in Nigeria and I can be transformed to NASA. I can be transformed, you know, to space. And I can, you know, we talk about the solar planet. We talk about solar. We talk about all of the Pluto, Mars, or the Sun, etc. But yes, imagine using virtual reality, and I'm actually able to experience it. It's almost like I am in space. And for me, that I think is what AI is sort of here to do. It makes education more fun. It makes it real, and you know, there's just a transformative power that it has as well. Opens up a world of possibilities.
Absolutely correct. Because when you think about how we always say, oh, all learners are different, the visual learner, the kinesthetic and the auditory learner, AI gives all of them all the tools that make whatever it is their preferred form of learning, you know, tangible to them. And honestly, I'm looking forward to a future where we fully explore what AI can do for education in Africa and in every other place. Now over to you, Mr. Godwin. I know you're very passionate about education at the basic level and inclusive education at that. So my first question to you today is, with the increasing integration of AI in education, how can we address the digital divide to ensure equal access to AI-driven tools for students in underserved areas? Let me give you a perspective. There's a data that I came across very recently that showed about how much was happening. UNESCO data showed that AI accessibility tools have reduced education exclusion rate by 20% in pilot programs across underserved regions. Now, I don't know if Nigeria is part of that, but essentially from your perspective, what are some things that we need to do that as we embrace this, it doesn't become an elitist innovation in education, something that kids in rural communities, suburban communities cannot access? Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Irene, and thank you to Molade for the context that she shared around the possibilities of AI. I think when we talk about bridging the gap, one of the first things that we have to think about is the supporting infrastructure that enhances AI adoption in communities. If we look at where we are today as a country, we see that there's still a huge infrastructure gap when it comes to digital technologies, how we access the internet, which is very crucial for AI when it comes to bridging the education inequity gap. I was going through a report, specifically the World Economic Forum Global Skills Future of Work report, and one of the things that was cited there is that broadening digital access will be needed as we progress. And this is something we have to think about. So basically for me is thinking about where are we today?
Yes.
Where do we want to get to? And most of the people who are leveraging AI tools today are mostly those in urban areas. For those in rural areas, how do we ensure that we are able to first improve digital access? And one of the key things we need to do is invest heavily in infrastructure. I also think beyond the big tools, we also need to look at low-hanging fruit that exists. How do we also leverage renewable energy and other offline to ensure that this particular population segment are able to get connected? We don't have to only restrict our understanding of these AI tools to some of the massive machine learning that exists. If we are able to leverage on simple tools such as the Mavis Talking book, I think would go a long way in improving access in underserved areas. For me at the moment, getting it right is getting infrastructure right when it comes to ensuring access to digital opportunities.
So Mr. Godwin, this is really phenomenal what you just captured, because what I hear you say is we need to have a comprehensive look at this. And comprehensive here, I'm not taking away that we need, it has to be major infrastructure. I hear you say, let's start from the very basics. What's the low entry point? Like, let's get the bottom line of what artificial intelligence does in education, and let's set up tools that make that happen in a very realistic way. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I'm coming back to you, Mrs. Molade. So now we're looking at, you know, I actually started with you because on the face value, someone could say TVET, AI, do they actually meet? But when you started talking about it, it just lightened my perspective. So I'm coming back to you now, Ms. Molade, to say, okay, I know that the bottom line of TVET education is skills for work. Provide young people skills that they can actually earn a living with. So now standing upon that, I want to ask, what policies should be prioritized to ensure that education systems in Nigeria and beyond remain relevant and effective in an AI-driven world? How do we remain relevant and effective in an AI-driven world? Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Irene. And I think that that's a very important question when we are talking about what policies do we need in our education system. You know, I think first of all, we need policies that promote the integration of AI into education. That definitely should be prioritized. And you know, this can include, you know, initiatives such as the National Digital Learning Policy. And that is meant, you know, that aims to revolutionize the way education is delivered, you know, in Nigeria. So really policies that, you know, promote AI into our education at all levels. So yes, we're talking about TVET specifically from my end, but even at basic level, even at secondary, even at tertiary level, how do we have, you know, for instance, Nigerian universities leveraging AI to enhance the quality of teaching and learning? better preparing students for the evolving demands of an AI-driven world. This is actually critical because, you know, when people leave school and they graduate, they're going into a world that is already, you know, working in this AI space. Everything about work is done using sort of AI tools right now. So we need policies that actually promote integration of AI into education. Another one is really policies that, you know, that focus on developing digital literacy. And I think Godwin spoke to that. But I want to go further, not just for among students, but also to teachers as well. This needs to be prioritized. So training programs that equip educators with the skills to effectively integrate technology into their teaching practices. So we need policies around digital literacy for teachers, for students, because it's one thing to want our students to be digitally literate, right? And to be able to use these AI tools and machine learning tools. But the teachers who are going to teach them also need to know how to use that. And, you know, we've talked about the digital divide between the urban, the rural areas, the underserved communities.
Yes.
So we do need policies, you know, that, you know, so we're thinking about our teacher training colleges. What policies are there to incorporate, you know, digital literacy into their schools. And I think policies that foster collaboration and research between educational institutions, industries, governments also need to be prioritized. So we have things like, you know, there's centers for AI and robotics, looking at policies around promoting research, promoting development in AI systems. We need to have policies that actually bring in the private sector, working with the public sector, working with the education sector, so that we can actually have this. And maybe the last one that I would say is policies around equitable access. I won't speak too much about this because Godwin already spoke to it. That speak to initiatives that provide affordable internet access, critically important, that provide policies that gives access to digital devices and educational resources, especially for underserved communities. So there needs to be policies that are driving all of this so that we can truly have, you know, an AI-driven world. And the last thing to mention is, well, there are many policies out there that we can borrow from. There are many policies that are already existing. Some of them I mentioned, but let's also remember the local context and the local. Yeah, we need that local context. It's important to make sure it's relevant to our communities, to our country as well. I'll stop there.
Thank you so much, Molade. I hear you talk about the need for us to have policies that ensure that first and foremost AI is integrated, but also I love the angle of we need to think about policies that foster collaboration. Let's know what's happening in the industry at the industry levels, and let industries be able to collaborate with the educational institutions so that there are no skills mismatch in the process. And then I like the fact that you brought out that there needs to be equitable access. And when people talk about equitable access, I always want them to also talk about devices, because that's the core. Thank you so much for your beautiful contribution. Now, and I'm coming back to you, Mr. Godwin, and very soon we're going to dovetail into talking about the challenges with AI integration. But just before we move into that, I wanted to, let's move away from teach using AI to start wondering, are schools preparing children for education or for workspace where AI is the core skill or tool? So I'd like you to talk to us a little bit, Mr. Godwin. What role do you think education plays in preparing students for an AI-dominated workforce, particularly in sectors where human labor is increasingly being automated? That means there are less and less opportunities there. How do we prepare children knowing that such inadequacies exist, and how will they thrive? So over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Irene. And I think if I even go back a bit, is to wish everyone listening to this conversation a happy International Day of Education.
Yes,
so great that we're having this conversation now. And when we look at the role of education in preparing students for the AI-dominated workforce, and, you know, reflecting on it, asking ourselves, what exactly does education do? And we'll see that the role of education is basically multifaceted. But for me, I would like to say one of the key distinguishing things that we see is that education actually teaches us how to think, and how to acquire knowledge. And when we begin to look at it from that perspective, we'll begin to understand that although AI is driving the world today, it is also important for us to recognize that it will not always be that way. Historically, we've seen the trend where we've had different eras. We've had the era of the Industrial Revolution. We've had the era of the ICT, and now we are presently in the AI-driven era. And we know that this will continue to change. And when we have this background, it begins to influence how we actually prepare students for the AI workforce, but also not limiting ourselves, right, to the AI workforce. Because at the end of the day, our goal is not to necessarily predict where the world would be moving into, but that through education, we'll be able to teach individuals, teach learners, teach students what they need to learn and how exactly they need to learn. Because when they have this critical skill, they will be able to adapt to any era, be it the AI-dominated workforce or whatever workforce would come in tomorrow. We see that the skills we need today would definitely be different from the skill we need tomorrow. So even it's why when I hear conversations around curriculum and we need to infuse AI, yes, but that should not be the core thing. Because just like the Industrial Revolution, tomorrow there would be another shift. I'll give you a quick example. If you look at the recently released Future of Work report, you see that the skilled and the jobs are said to be the fastest growing jobs in 2025 is different from what was predicted in 2020, just 5 years ago, where we saw skills like content creation, like care work. In the 2025 report, those two areas are not even in the top 16 of the fastest growing jobs. Wow. So if we then begin to think, if you had prepared our students, the workforce, to ensure that everybody becomes maybe a content creator, becomes a care worker, and then it gets to 2025, in 2030, probably would not need those again, right? So we need to emphasize on certain knowledge, certain skill set, right? And not necessarily the jobs, because the jobs will continue to change, but there are certain skills that would remain. Most of us know this skill, but the problem is, how are we really preparing students for it? For the last 10 years, analytical thinking has continuously ranked high. How are we preparing? How are we ensuring that our education system ensures that everybody acquires this skill? We're having skills like resilience and grit continuously increase in the magnitude of importance. This is because we are seeing today that a lot of people in the workforce, a lot of learners, the level of resilience and grit is reducing.
Yes.
Right? And we are seeing that there is a need to ensure that our education system ensures that students possess these skills as well as social influence. With the presence of technology and AI tools, we are seeing people interact more online and less physical interaction, which has slowly reduced the amount of influence. Although there's a new influence space opening up, right? But then we also need to think around how we're ensuring that every learner, every person has this skill beyond just preparing them for a certain work.
Mr. Godwin, what you've said is really profound, because the truth of the matter is, things that were the top priority in a couple of years back are not considered a priority next year. And so here am I as an educator today. As I'm teaching a child today, everything I'm trying to tell them is what the workforce will look like. It's going to be obsolete before they finish secondary school. So what I hear you say is, teach them thinking, critical thinking. Teach them how to problem solve. and most important, teach them how to be resilient. You know, when we're growing up, there are a lot of things our parents told us, but the world has redefined a lot of things. For instance, the very concept of career in itself. So a young person can read something and then the opportunity for that becomes limited. They need to be versatile enough to know that they can learn everything. So talk about growth mindset. They can learn something, they can move on to something else, and they can thrive. We need to teach about the simple principles that there are changes in life and you can adapt. You can learn anything at any age, at any time. And so, yes, I like how you're putting it, because usually when there's something trending, a predominant conversation, we start here about curriculum. Let's teach them how to do this. Let's put entrepreneurship in the curriculum. Let's do this in the curriculum. And sometimes I used to say, the curriculum already has those things. It's really about how we are teaching them. So far from my experience working, most of us in the classrooms teach children to grade, and so skills are absent. So what people see and say, oh, they're not teaching this, it's not because they are not, it's because they're not teaching them the right way. Thank you so very much for sharing that beautiful perspective. So I come back to you, Auntie Molade, give us another beautiful take on what we can do. This is where we start talking about what is concerning to us. So we're talking a lot about AI and everything. So when it comes to TIVA, we're asking, how can education ensure that individuals are not only skilled in using AI tools, but they're also empowered to influence and control these technologies rather than the reverse happening? So, which is the core of today's conversation, human agency. How do we raise individuals through the vehicle of education to learn how to use these tools, but also learn how to influence and control these technologies? We'd like to hear your perspective.
Thank you so much, Irene, and yes, happy International Day of Education to everyone who's listening. And you know, I think that this just follows on nicely from Godwin's point, right? When I think about curriculum, and when we talk about, you know, having an AI-driven curriculum as an example, let's also be very mindful that curriculum needs to be evolving. We can't have a static curriculum. Yes, we need to be mindful of the new trends that are out there, and we need to make sure that the curriculum is up to date at any point in time. That's really what, you know, drives education that is all inclusive and ultimately potentially helpful to people using that education for the world of work. But when I think about your question around empowering them to influence or control technologies, I think the first thing that comes to mind, honestly, is how are we incorporating critical thinking into our programs? The way we can actually get people to, you know, to be empowered to be able to use a thing, anything, whether it's technology or anything else, is that we're incorporating this mindset of critical thinking and problem solving, and people already see a new challenge, a new trend. Today it's AI, tomorrow it's machine learning, the day after tomorrow it's robotics, whatever it is. But because we're fostering that mindset of critical thinking and problem solving, people are already empowered to be able to use these tools rather than the tools using them. And honestly, that's why, you know, you hear some people say, I'm scared about technology as an example. But if we're fostering a critical thinking mindset and a culture of lifelong learning, because that's really what is needed. You know, if I have a culture of lifelong learning, I know that when something like AI comes today, I'm able to dive into with my problem thinking skills. I know the right kind of questions to ask. So I'm looking at it both from an ethical, what are the ethics behind this? What are the safety measures? How does this thing, how can I analyze this this information or this or this technology? I think the other thing about empowering them to influence and control is how we even involving the learners in projects that you know that allow them to learn more. So, you know, historically, we've had curricula, we've had teaching that tells students what to do. But we need to, we're moving away from that, but we need to really drastically move away from that and involve them in projects. So this is by doing project-based learning. So involve them in activities and things that allow them to own, you know, different aspects of this technology. And what that does is, you know, it begins to allow them to piece things apart. So for instance, I could tell you about a radio. I'm just using an example, Irene. I could tell you the different parts of the radio. I could draw a diagram. I could even show you a picture. But imagine if I gave you that radio and I asked you to piece that radio apart. So when I'm talking about the different parts of the radio, you're seeing it in action. You're seeing, you're able to, you know, you're empowered to be able to figure out, oh, now I can see how this works. Now I can see how I can improve on this technology.
Yes,
so we
yes,
need to
yes.
involve students. And again, when we're talking about involvement, we need to I come back to this collaboration. We need to foster collaboration with AI professionals and researchers so that students can have the opportunities to learn from experts. And that way they can contribute more. So I love this idea of how do we get experts in this field into the classrooms? So let them come and tell us what's happening in the field so I can begin to see how we're using, you know, some of this learning in, you know, in hydrophysics to build a dam, to build a car, you know, using this. And that, coupled with my critical thinking and problem solving and teamwork that I have already built with a culture of lifelong learning, then we truly begin to empower students to be able to influence and also control these technologies.
Thank you so much, Molade. That's just it, because the truth of the matter is that there's so much missing in terms of our content. So I would usually think about it this way. I have never been a science student, but I'd usually think about it this way. I think that the way we've designed learning today, especially in Nigeria, whether it's lessons, textbooks, whatever it is, we are pro information provision. We want to provide children with information. And as long as we take the posture that we are to provide information and we're not to ignite, we're not to inspire, we are not to show, we're just to provide information that they need to recall, we will never understand the true value of what education can accomplish in any nation. So yes, I look forward to a Nigeria where there's a collaboration with, you know, expert industries. Think about a partnership between the NERDC and maybe Coren, maybe institute, whatever government agencies regulate engineering, to say any textbook that is going to be used in the Nigerian classroom has to be vetted by these bodies. You know, think about what that would do. Hopefully that doesn't create a new problem as well. So thank you so much for sharing that beautiful piece. Now I'm going to be asking the last question for today. I'm going to be asking Mr. Godwin now. Mr. Godwin, there's a big problem in the industry and we want you to step in and tell us what to do about it. So we're having situations where young people get a test or an assignment and they just put it up on ChatGPT or they put it on any AI tool that is available to them, and they generate this content and submit their task. So now they're doing their schoolwork later than earlier, and a lot of people are saying, oh, they can't think. I came across a story about a guy who's doing so well in a high profile university in the US, showed up somewhere and thought something was missing, couldn't have a conversation because he's not used to it. So everything he wanted to do, he had to use the help of AI tools. Now my question to you is, as much as we see the significant or humongous potential of AI tools in accelerating learning gains and, you know, empowering young people with skills of the future and all, how do we strike a delicate balance between leveraging AI for efficiency in education and maintaining the human touch that fosters creativity and emotional intelligence in learners?
Thank you so much, Irene. Really interesting question, if I must say. For me, in responding to this question, I'll start with this, which is the fact that we have to understand that tools are designed for humans.
Yes.
Humans are not designed for tools.
So
when there is a tool in place, humans would definitely use it, because that is why it was created. It was created for us to use it. We had shovels so that we would use it. We had wheelbarrows, right?
Yes.
So it's not different when we begin to think about AI. If you know, just thinking around it, I remember when AI came out newly, there was a lot of opposition to it. And I'm coming to the question you asked, right?
Definitely.
There was a lot of opposition to it, particularly ChatGPT, if I'm being specific. There were education institutions that totally outlawed it, right? But we saw that learners, students, very curious set, they continue to explore it. they continued to use it, which was what led to improvement. You know, if we even, because of that, if we look at where we are today, we've seen tools, AI tools that have been created for teachers. So we are seeing tools that even help teachers to grade script.
Yes. Yes.
I think for me, we should not even be fighting whether we should outlaw, right? That should not even be a conversation, which is why what you've asked is very critical. Is how do we create that balance that, yes, we need this AI. It's obviously leading to efficiency, but we also need that human touch, right? We need learners to be able to still exhibit emotional intelligence. And I think for me, we already have, will I say, a framework that can help us achieve that. If we look at the Bloom's taxonomy, if we really go back to it, this places a demand on teachers or evaluators of knowledge or those that facilitate learning to move beyond what we will call the baseline.
Yes.
We can no longer be asking students,
what is define, differentiate.
Right? All those kind of questions. What is the importance of, why do we need those kind of questions? They don't really, you can easily generate answers.
Yes.
It's
definitely,
it doesn't lead anywhere. So while that level of knowledge is good, right? But we need to then start moving ahead. How do we ensure, like Molade was speaking about curriculum and how it needs to be dynamic, how do we ensure that in our education process, we are looking at knowledge, we are ensuring that learners, whenever they interact with these tools, they are able to involve critical thinking?
Absolutely.
Canvas, Canva, the design framework, is an AI tool. How we leverage it to ensure that learners are actually, if I tell you now to go maybe design a building from scratch, you have to think around the kind of building that you want, depending on the topography that I'm giving you. You have to think about those elements. That is how, you know, learning, there's that balance.
Yes.
You are involving your entire sense. You even look at what it's doing for teachers. I was having this conversation some days ago with friends on social media where we're talking about, for teachers now, for example, there are tools that help grade, which is good for teachers that have to grade 5,000 plus scripts
in
a very short timeline. But you also know that there are certain learners, depending on how you phrase that question, that irrespective of the rubric that you put in place, you also have to have look at those scripts to see what was the perspective that this learner came with. So I virtual reality, if I virtual reality, we can use virtual reality to talk about a lot of skills. In that virtual, there's a lot of things we are teaching students, empathy through, you know, the scenarios that they face.
This is
how we begin to create that balance, not just the usual way where we ask people, what is, define, draw a cockroach and label it.
It's beyond that.
If we continue that way, it defeats the purpose of why AI exists in the first place. And again, I think educators themselves need to understand that AI is not limited to predictive and generative. So it's not restricted to ChatGPT, Gemini, and there are other tools that have always been in existence. So if we begin to think around it, that we relate it to scenarios that happen daily, that way we become less predictive and we become more dynamic in our approach.
Thank you so much, Mr. Godwin. And I like to use the word, I was blessed by what you just said. So it's like you're playing a game. And so the way we're using AI now is like, we're at the basic level. So we're asking teachers, take up what you're demanding from students in knowledge, increase the levels of difficulty, bring in, you know, make it rigorous for them. So for instance, I remember this one time, I think I was teaching economics at the time. And you know, in those days, they would ask us, what is the scale of preference? And it will be a straightforward answer. And I remember one time I was giving an assessment and I rather chose a different route. I said this, I give them like a hypothetical question. I said, this person has this amount of money and they listed their needs in this order. If this is their scale of preference, what's the first thing that they're going to purchase? And there were kids who looked at that question and thought about themselves and they were like, if this is me, I'll choose this. If this is me, I'll choose this. And I use that to say, exactly, but that is not your scale of preference. Each human's scale of preference is different. So think about it. If the questions are too straightforward, there's no rigor, there's no, it's not challenging, it's easy to use AI tools and just get all the answers with no really empowering learning happening. So yes, and here's the other thing, AI can help teachers set better questions, bring in the difficulties that they want so that children are not running to one tool or the other. So if you've been listening to us and you're a teacher, we believe that you've gotten quite a lot to take away from how to embrace the fact that AI actually helps accelerate learning. If you're a policymaker, you're listening to us talk about all the nuance about integrating artificial intelligence and making education in Africa work for us. So just before we close out, I'm going to ask each of our panelists to give us 30 seconds of their closing statements as we celebrate the International Day of Education, holding a conversation on AI and education in the context of preserving human agency in a world of automation. So I'm going to start back with you, Mr. Godwin, and then end with Mrs. Molade. Over to you. 30 seconds.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you. It's been such an empowering conversation. Thank you, Molade, as well, for the knowledge that you shared. So I think for me, again, AI, like we've already ascertained, in this present age, is here to stay. We don't need to fight it. We need to embrace it. But as people working within the education space, we also need to ask ourselves, what do we want? How do we want to use this tool? Why do we even need to leverage it? And as we started as well, in doing this, we don't need to restrict it to ourselves. We need to ensure that as we are leveraging AI, we are not widening the inequity gap, that we are actually taking everyone along, even if it's at different levels. And this is even why we have differentiated learning. We also need to have differentiated AI adoption across all levels. But let everyone have a basic touch with it. And let's not give AI all our agency. Let's also ensure that there's a human touch. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Godwin. That was Mr. Godwin, Thematic Lead, Basic Education, NESG Education Policy Commission. Over to you, Mrs. Molade.
I mean, I think that I was going to say exactly that AI is here to stay. And let's not fight it. Let's not run away from it. Let's embrace it fully. And I think as we continue to, as it continues to evolve, you know, in our education system, let's also remember that, you know, the soft skills are as important, even if not more important, than some of these other technical skills. Someone once said to me that people hire you for your technical skills, but fire you for your lack of soft skills. So the critical thinking, the problem solving, you know, the ability to use your initiative, the resilience, the grit, all of those things are extremely important, and they work hand in hand. So as we continue to watch this space, I say let's continue to evolve and let's continue to build wholesome, you know, students who can truly thrive in the world of technology, regardless of what that technology looks like. So again, happy International Day of Education.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Molade Adeni. That's a thematic lead, Technical and Vocational Education and Training, TVET, NESG Education Policy Commission. Nan, I want to thank you for staying on through with us. And as you go through the rest of your day, remember to have conversations with people about the significant value of AI education, AI in our education, and how we can ensure that each and every one of us preserves human agency as we continue using this tool. Once again, my name is Irene Bangwell. I'm the technical anchor, NESG Education Policy Commission. Have a beautiful day.